Amen. Hallelujah. We want to thank God once again for this time. Amen. We want to thank God once again for this time. Hallelujah. And praise God for keeping us and bringing us together. So let's go to the word. Let's open Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 7. So, as you know, I told you that I will be continuing on overcoming spiritual distractions. What is a distraction? Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 7. God says to Joshua, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So God is saying to Joshua, meditate on the law, observe the law, and do according to the law. Meditate on the word, observe the word, and do according to the word of God, and don't turn from it to the right or to the left. That is a distraction. What is a distraction? Distraction is diversion from meditating, observing, and doing the word of the Lord. Anything in your life that does not allow you to spend time with God's word, anything in your life that does not allow you to spend time in the secret place with God, when that hits you, and it can be anything, it can be a situation, it can be an activity you are putting your hands into, it can be a person you speak to, after maybe speaking to that person, maybe after performing that activity, or maybe after a situation that arises in your life, soon after that, you don't feel like going to God. You feel like skipping your devotion to God. I cannot read the word. I cannot pray. That is a distraction. That is a spiritual distraction. So that was the definition that I gave you for distraction. Distraction is a diversion from meditating, observing, and doing the word of the Lord. All right. So I told you about the two major categories under which distractions come in our life. It can be either through witchcraft manipulation or through by the devil, through satanic ritual activities, or it can be either by our own self. It can be orchestrated by the devil through satanic ritual activities, or it can be by our own self. And I told you how Satan works in the night and how he curses the day. There are servants of Satan who curse the day, who release curses generally over Christians. Maybe they don't know the name, but they release curses. They manipulate the day. They pray that Christians should not commune with God. Christians should not come to know Jesus. Christians should not know the word. Because if Christians start to know the knowledge of God, start walking in the revelations, their kingdom will be destroyed. So it's the job of Satan to continue to send witchcraft manipulation, so that they can ruin your day, so that the demons can initiate a distraction. The second category under which it can be classified is a selfish stronghold. I told you, what is a selfish stronghold? The selfish stronghold is the high tower of Babel, the high tower of Babel that exists in a person's mind, where a person himself decides, oh, I want to be in control of my life. And when you are in control of your life, you live the most frustrated life ever. When you want to drive things and not pray to God, not depend on God, but you think you can do it, you live the most distracted life. Frustration, irritation will be the portion of your life. So those are the two major categories under which either it is initiated by the devil, or it comes because of your own selfish stronghold, because you are not giving control in the hands of God. Okay, so we started off. There can be a lot of distraction, but God, when I was preparing for the message, God gave me this around nine distractions, around nine distractions, and I believe through these 9 points, God will speak to his people, and God will speak to his people, and we shall be able to address distraction. Because see, the devil cannot do anything to you. I told you, the devil is not given an anointing or is not given a gift to destroy or to defeat God's children. But the devil defeats God's children, not directly, but through distraction. If he is able to distract you from hearing God every day, if he is able to distract you from knowing the purposes of God, he is successfully defeating you in your life. If he is only able to distract you and divert you. So this is the major tool of the devil that he brings in God's, in the lives of God's people. So the first distraction I told last Friday, the first distraction was worry and fear through exaggerations of false realities. I've already spoken about that. So that was the first distraction. The second, I was on second distraction. And the second distraction that I told is worry, uncertainty, and diversion due to financial lack. Worry, uncertainty, and diversion due to financial lack. Due to financial lack. And we see in the Bible that God's people faced financial lack. They went through famine. Even Abraham, he went through a famine. So this is one of the major distractions that distracts Christians. I told you that if you tomorrow you have to pay your rent, and you know you don't have money today, and you know, and you cannot, a person in that situation of financial lack is not able to read the word because of the pressure of what will happen tomorrow. Of what will I give answer to that person whom I have to pay the rent to that person, or I have to pay the bill. What will happen? Or to pay that bill, or I have to give money for my children's education, but I don't have money. When Christians land up in that situation, they are under pressure. And under that pressure, they are not trained to handle that pressure. So, under such a situation, they are not able to go to read the word of God, because worry takes over them. Uncertainty for tomorrow takes over their lives. But God wants to equip Christians in such a way that even if you don't have the money for to pay the rent or to pay the children's fees tomorrow, but even though there is uncertainty tomorrow, but today you are able to spend quality 4 hours with the Lord without thinking about it. That is the stature. Are we understanding that? That is the stature the Lord wants to bring a Christian into. That is the stature the Lord, because the Lord wants to teach you that he will take care of your tomorrow. You should not worry about tomorrow. If people will not give it, you have to believe that crows will come and give the food to you. But he will take care. That is the assurance the Lord wants to bring in a Christian's life, so that you are not shaken by the distraction that the enemy bring through financial conditions. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding that? If I read autobiographies and books, I will read books and autobiographies, not of the mega church preachers, but of genuine men of God. And I've read about genuine men of God, how they overcome this area of distraction. Because especially in the lives of pastors, leaders who are listening to me, the devil attacks, brings distraction through this area, through financial problems in your life. And listen to me, you have to, I was reading about Hudson Taylor. If you don't know about Hudson Taylor was from, he was from England, and he had a very, very mighty burden to minister and evangelize to the nation of China, to the Chinese people. So he went, and there is a long story. He was there in China, and then he became independent. And he learned to wait on God, and In his early life, God trained him how to depend on him for finances, how to depend on God. In his early life, he writes about all those things. So once I remember this picture that happened. Once he and his wife were in the morning, they got up and they were medical missionaries. He and his wife were got up in the morning and they were drinking their tea. And this man of God told the wife, this is the last cup of tea. After this one, our supplies are over. There is nothing left. But I want to praise God. And then one thing he used to say, he said, since we are doing God's work in God's ways, I believe we will never lack God's supply. As soon as he finished that cup of tea and kept it on the table, there was someone who rang the doorbell. When he went to the door, there was a money order sent by someone for him. As soon as that finished off, that is how God wants to equip a Christian. He wants a Christian to rest in his promises, even though you know tomorrow you don't have things to do. You don't have the resources to pay off things or to buy things. He wants a Christian to rest in God's promises. Are we understanding, people of God? But this is, I am telling you. Some of the mega church preachers, I am telling you, I started to read the books, and halfway down the line, or 10% of the book I read, I closed the book and kept. Because they teach that a man of God has to, you know what, succumb, or they have to adapt the ways of the world to get money, because money is so much required, and without money you cannot survive, you cannot do ministry, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, and all those stuff, because they themselves have never learned to overcome the distraction that comes through financial lack. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, so I told you Genesis 12:7 last meeting. I told you how Abraham was at Bethel, and there he built an altar to God in Genesis chapter number 12:7 onwards, and he called upon the name of the Lord. So that was the place he was supposed to wait at, but he was so distracted, he left the place, he went somewhere, and then there was a famine in that land, and he said, let's go to Egypt. So a famine, a financial lack in Abraham's life led him to go to a place, a distraction, a diversion from the route map of God, where he was not supposed to go. That is what a financial distraction does. Are we together? Let me take you to another scripture. Let's go to the book of Ruth. Let's go to the book of Ruth, verse number one. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So he left Bethlehem. What is Bethlehem? Meaning the house of God. Left Bethlehem, went to Moab, that is a foreign country. Because of what? Because of a famine. Because of lack of food, lack of resources in the land. Okay. Verse number two, the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. What initiated their journey to Moab? What initiated the shifting? It says, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And now they took two wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. There was death, calamity. They thought, oh, you know what? There is famine here. Let us take another route. Let us go to another place. And they went to that place, and there was death after that diversion, after that distraction that they took because of a financial condition. Okay? Verse number six. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. Okay? For she heard in the country of Moab, Now, this is important. What initiated their diversion? It says Naomi, this woman, okay, heard that in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Hallelujah. So the Bible talks about the reason this family left Bethlehem was because there was a famine in Bethlehem. Okay. Now, the reason they took the decision to go to Moab, because the wife of Elimelech heard from some people, and these people were doing something that happens in the church. I'm not saying testimonies are wrong, but some people testify in the flesh. Oh, we invested in that scheme and we got double money. You know, prophet told me to invest in that scheme and we got double money. Five of us got double money. Oh, let me also invest my money there. And when you go and invest there, your money is lost. She heard from other people. They were testifying God visited Moab. How can God visit Moab, leaving his own house, Bethlehem? She was, hallelujah. That is why it is very necessary to read the word of God and to hear the Holy Spirit for a Christian, so that Christians will not be diverted by false testimonies, by false marketing strategies. Do we understand that? I have come in contact with numerous people. Hold on. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Now the voice, I believe. Hello, can you hear me? Check. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. I connected to with a different connection because that connection was weak. Okay. So, because a Christian does not know to hear God for herself or himself, there are high chances that they depend on others' testimony. It is not when someone gives a testimony, it is not necessary that how God, what happened in their life, should the same thing should happen in your life also. God will lead you in a unique way. You understand that? God will lead you in a unique way. And for you to discover that leading, for you to discover that path, you need to hear the Lord. You need to hear the Holy Spirit. You need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Bible says that Naomi was hearing people, and all the people were making noise out there. Oh, God visited Moab, and there is food in Moab. And that's why she took a decision to leave the house of God, Bethlehem. What did Abraham do there? He left the altar at Bethel. That is also Bethlehem, house of God. So what does a financial distraction do to a person? A financial distraction tries to divert a person from the altar of God, from the place of prayer, to take a different route altogether that the world recommends. It may be a marketing strategy. It may be a worldly investment scheme. It may be a worldly wisdom, because that is the world wisdom. And it diverts the person on that way rather than seeking God at the altar and seeking him for answers. So it diverts you from your prayer life. A financial lack. Do we understand that? And I told you last time, you need to tell the devil, devil, even if I don't have money and you are bringing so many distractions, I am not going to leave the altar of God. I get rid of all those thoughts. So you shall be in a position, even if there is a famine, you hold on to the horns of the altar and seek the Lord and tell God, Lord, even if there is a famine in this land, I will not leave your presence. I will still hold on to you and I will not be diverted. I will persist in the place of prayer. The Bible says Isaac, when there was a famine, he negated what his father did. When there was a famine, instead of leaving the place, instead of leaving the challenge, in famine he sowed and he reaped a thousandfold. Hallelujah. You have to tell the devil, oh, you are telling me I don't have money to pay the rent, but I will sow in my famine. I will sow. I am telling you,
Amen.
I prophesy, and this is not a prophecy, this is a statement. This is what God tells about you. You are not a poor woman. You are not a poor man. You are a rich man. You are a rich woman. You just have to understand what abundance you carry in your father's account. Hallelujah. And you have to exchange the earthly currency in exchange of the heavenly currency, what Jesus used to do. He lifted up the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Not much, but he gave thanks for it. And the Bible says it multiplied. And instead of Jesus taking from people, he fed 5,000 families. That is how you are. You are not a borrower. You are a lender. You are supposed to feed the multitude, not take from the multitude. Feed the multitude. Hallelujah. Like Joseph, like Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What? Tell me one thing. What savings Jesus did? Oh, you know what? I have a lot of savings that I did before starting the ministry. So let me draw from my farmer's bank account or whatever bank account you have, from my Chase bank account or whatever bank account, because I did a lot of saving and we will. No, Jesus did no savings. He was living and leaning on God for every day's needs. But still, he knew how to access. He said, Father, I give you thanks for this. And the Father multiplied it. The Father released what was in his account. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that should be a Christian's mindset, I tell you. The people, I want to teach people who are in this ministry that you never should show yourself as a victim. Oh, you know, I am poor. You know, I hardly do this. I hardly have food. I hardly can pay the bills. No. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Know who you are. Know who you are. You are talking like that because you don't understand the principles of the kingdom. You don't understand the principles of the spirit realm. Hallelujah. You don't understand who you are. You are a person who can feed the multitudes. And you are behaving as if you are in lack. You are not in lack. Are we understanding that? Are we understanding that? The only thing is because you are in the flesh and you are a victim of distraction. You think because you don't have money, you cannot survive. Nonsense. Look at your father's account. Hallelujah. So we saw Matthew's, okay, do we see that distraction? People in the Bible, yeah. Servants of God got distracted because of that. Servants of God, but Jesus never got distracted. When we read we will come to the life of Elijah. What happened there? But before that, Matthew's chapter number 14, verse number 13 to 21, the Bible says, when there was a challenge of feeding the 5,000 families, Jesus said, what do you have? They said, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Bring them to me. He gave thanks. So what do you need to do during financial lack? You need to give thanks to God. You need to give thanks to God. I remember, you know, I have the authority to teach in this area because I know God has trained me in this area. You need to give thanks. There were times in my life, I remember when I was 19, 18 years old, just encountered Christ, just started to have a hunger, fire for him, zeal for him, started to arrange chairs in the church, started to do a small job in a call center. And that was the time the devil had manipulated my family, and my family he had kept in very great debts and all those stuff. And we did not had money to pay the rent. And the owner said, tomorrow, if you don't pay the rent, you come on the streets with your furniture. And that happened. He came on the street. But when I was standing on the street and I saw the furniture coming out and they were keeping on the street. I said, Lord, whether in the house or on the street, I will still praise you. I give you thanks for whatever I have. And then,
amen.
Hallelujah. Whether there, whether on the street, whichever situation you place me in. Lord, I am ready to walk with you. Lord, I am ready. I know you are training me. I give you thanks. And when I was giving thanks, after 5 minutes, someone called my mom, a friend, and they said, okay, without money, you can come. You know, we have a house there just nearby. Just you have to arrange for the transport. You can come and live in the house. That is the way, and many things. So whatever situation you are, your faith should not be shaken. Your situations are shaky, but your faith should not be shaken. It's a distraction, beloved. The devil wants you to, wants to take you to that extreme to make you think, oh God, I worshiped you. I went to the church. I gave some tithes also. I gave some offering also. But why this, Lord? Why this, Lord? The devil wants you to do that. The devil wants you to do, to leave the word. And if your heart is heavy and you, if you are complaining, you cannot pray and complain at the same time. You cannot have faith and ask questions at the same time. You cannot say why, and you cannot have the faith. No, no, brother, I am asking why, but I have faith. Nonsense. You cannot ask why, and you say you have faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Either you trust or you doubt. So, amen. So God, and so many people, the devil brings financial lack in their life. The financial lack is not going to end you, I'm telling you. It's not going to end you. But God wants to train you thoroughly to make you realize that He is your provider. He is still taking care of you, even if things are going wrong, even if sometimes there is no finances. So what we need to do, like Jesus, we need to give thanks for whatever you have. There were times in my teenage age where after encounter, I used to have to go to the church and did not have money. But I used to walk halfway, take the bus and go. And the whole way I used to go, I used to give thanks to God for whatever was in my pocket, for whatever was in my pocket. Give thanks. That is the way you will come. You will get rid. First, you get rid of distraction. Then you step into abundance. When you do that, and when God, and one day God will make a covenant with you, God will come and tell you, you know what, even if the world economy fails, even if the dollar of America fails, but I make a covenant with you, my daughter, I make a covenant with you, my son, you shall never be in lack. Amen. You shall never be in debt. You shall never default. When that, He makes a covenant with people He has tested. And those people whom He makes covenant with are people who have overcome financial distractions that come through financial lack. Hallelujah. Especially pastors, I'm talking to you. You need to be equipped in this area, I'm telling you. Don't be a victim. Never beg. Always know that you are a lender because you are a servant of God. You will feed the multitudes. You will give like Joseph. Imagine what kind of investment Joseph had. He had no investments whatsoever. He had no saving whatsoever. But God is the one who gave him the authority to feed the nations. So we think, oh, you know what? What is your investment? Are you married? Did you buy property, Pastor Rahul? Did you save? No, I have nothing. I know God will release His storehouse authority in the hands of a man. And when He does that, the man is able to feed the nations. That man or that woman is able to feed the nations. Hallelujah. So I want especially Christians to get rid of victim mentality, where they always, when they talk with people, they share their sad stories. You need to learn to keep your mouth shut, and you need to learn to keep your needs private. If you are going through something, it's not necessary. You know what? I'm going every day. They call 10 people. I'm going through this. I'm going through this. I'm going through this. What do you think? Will people start to appreciate you for what you are going through? No, 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 no. Keep it private. What does God says? Matthew's chapter number 6. He who comes, close your door and pray to me in the secret. And the one who prays to me in the secret, the Father will reward that person openly. Do we understand that? So sometimes you have to keep your request secret. Now, don't take me wrongly, okay? Some people would say, oh, Apostle Rahul said, don't share your prayer request. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying not to share your prayer request. We are here to pray for people. I am talking about when the Lord tells you and prompts you, no, don't disclose this need to anyone. The Holy Spirit tells you, you should keep it secret rather than disclosing everything to everyone. That's what I'm saying. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. We are still on the distraction, the worry, the uncertainty that comes because of a financial lack. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. Second Kings chapter number 4, verse number 1. Second Kings chapter number 4, verse number 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my sons to be his slaves." Can it happen a prophet who feared the Lord can be in debts? Yes. Here it says the prophet died, he was in debts. And now when he died, his the creditors came to take the sons as slaves. So Elisha said to her, and she was distracted. She was terrified. What to do? No money to pay. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Hallelujah. Elisha did not recommend her to take a loan. Or did not recommend, "Okay, you know what? I will announce for you in my church that people need money." Elisha said, "What do you have with you?" Because the solution is already with you. But your eyes are not open. You are very distracted. You have not went to the secret place. But I will help you. It says, then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons and pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." I preached a sermon called the Solution to the Coming Famine. And in that sermon, I brought to your notice that whenever anything multiplies in the Bible, it's oil and it's wine. And anything that increases, it's oil, wine, flour. And what are oil, wine, and flour? Oil, wine, and flour are refined products, are not raw materials. From where oil has been extracted, oil has been extracted from olives. Okay? So God does not multiply olives, the raw product. He multiplies the refined products. He multiplies. What does the Bible say? Remember the book of Revelation chapter number 6? It says when that horse came, the seal was broken. The prices of everything increased. Barley, wheat were being sold for a high price. But the angel said, "Do not harm what? The oil and the wine." The oil and the wine. So I would recommend Christians, instead of storing dollars, try to store oil from God. And when the need comes, that anointing will give you increase. That, hallelujah. The Bible says the virgins stored oil with them. They had enough oil. And the other virgins, they had no oil. So the virgins that had oil were able to pass through the door. Hallelujah. The currency of God's kingdom is that will save you is not dollar, is not euros, it's not naira. The currency that will save you of God's kingdom is oil, is wine. Hallelujah. Because God has the ability. It may look small, but when the need comes, God will bring increase to it. God will bring multiplication to it. But this sister in the Bible was ignoring the oil. "She, I have a less oil." Elisha said, "Bring the vessel. Bring the vessels. Shut the door. Shut the door." And she poured it out, verse number 5. Now it came to pass, verse number 6, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That I am telling you, beloved, we think, "Oh, if we borrow from there, if we take from there," but go in the secret place and search out with God. Your eyes are close to something. When your eyes will open, you will understand there is something with you that is a solution to your problem. And you are searching it for elsewhere. You are so distracted The devil was able to distract you from the altar because of a financial lack. But come to the altar. That's why I'm telling you, Christians should build up capacity. That even if you know that there are people standing outside your house to kill you, but still you are in your house completely focused on God, not caring whether they will kill. That was Elisha. There were people surrounding him to kill him, but still he was at rest in his house. That is the level where you have to come, that you are a very hard person. Devil cannot distract you. The devil thinks, okay, I will send people out to kill him and bring them the news. We are here standing outside to kill you. And you are laughing in your secret place. And you say, I don't care. I don't care. I have to spend time with my God. Hallelujah. Overcoming distractions. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Overcoming distraction. You are in a place that you are not distracted by anything. And when you are not distracted, you are a powerful or a powerful man or a powerful woman. Okay, important scripture. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Let's go to 1 Kings. Hallelujah. Chapter number 17. Verse number 8 onwards. Very interesting. Verse number 8 onwards. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. I have preached this many times, but let me come to this again. Underline that, those who have not underlined. See, I have commanded a widow. What does that mean? God had spoken to the widow of Zarephath to provide for Elijah. Okay? That was the widow's ministry. That was the woman's calling. The woman's calling was, God had called her and appointed her to provide for his prophets, to provide for the servants of God. That was the calling of the woman, of the widow. So he said, I have commanded a widow, go there. Why God sent him there? Because the brook of Cherith dried up. There was no water. So God said, don't worry, you will not be in lack. I will send you to another place. Providence will come. So that is how the servants of God are led. God provides for them. Hallelujah. Okay, any which way. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So Elijah, imagine Elijah, he had a prayer meeting with God. He had a council meeting with God. And there God told him, go to the widow, she will provide for you. So Elijah went with the expectation, oh, this is a woman of God. She already knows what she needs to do. So he went there, he met the woman, he saw the woman. And he said, bring me a water. He was expecting that she knows she needs to provide. But she was in her own imaginary world, in her own distraction. She was gathering sticks. Why she was gathering sticks? Verse number 12 says, so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's why she was gathering sticks, to cook something that God told her to release for her own self. Hallelujah. People don't understand, when God asks you to release or give for you, for his kingdom, you think, oh, if I am giving, taking from my pocket and giving something for God's kingdom, my pocket is becoming less heavy, or my pocket is becoming empty. No. God is asking you to release something to give you abundance. It's for your own good. It's for you that God is asking you to perform that activity. Hallelujah. So she said, I am gathering stick so that the oil and the flour that I have, we will eat it. But what Elijah said to her, verse number 13, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, So he said, "Don't worry, you can eat it, dear woman. You can have what you want to have. But make me a small cake from it first. Do what God has called you to do. Do what you are instructed to do. Make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry." Again, a multiplication on the oil. Hallelujah. How does your oil increase? When you release the oil on others. How does your flour increase? When you release the oil for the kingdom of God. When you release your oil, when you release your flour for the kingdom of God. The best place to invest is not in that policy, brother. The best place to invest is in God's work, is in God's kingdom. That is the best place, because God records everything that you are giving with a cheerful heart.
Amen.
Do we understand that? So Elijah said, do we see that financial lack? Oh, I don't have anything. How can I give you? I don't have anything. We ourselves are eating. You do whatever you want. No, that is a distraction. Financial lack is a distraction that restrains you from giving in God's kingdom. Even though you have less, but from it, give into God's kingdom. So many people, Christians, remain poor. And until today, they are poor. They are begging. They are victims because they don't understand. Oh, brother, when I have, I can give. No, now how can I give? No, give from whatever you have cheerfully, because God has commanded you to give. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's the crow, but sometimes it's a human being that is supposed to provide. And you are not providing. God is providing through you. Who are the people? I always say, this is the revelation I got when once I was reading 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, there are three sources in 1 Kings chapter 17. Listen to me. Three sources that provided for Elijah. The first source that provided for Elijah was the brook of Cherith. The second source that provided for Elijah was a raven. The third source was the widow of Zarephath. And when you consider all these three sources, brook of Cherith was the brook where no one used to go. It was an isolated place, rejected place. Raven is, people consider raven as a black bird, a witchcraft bird, a rejected bird. Widow of Zarephath, a rejected widow in Zarephath. So God did not choose millionaires to provide for his ministry. God chose rejected people. Isolated people, isolated, rejected sources, which were rejected by the society, to provide for his work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have seen that in my life and ministry. Common people, those who are not rich in the world's perspective, but they are rich in God's perspective. They have released. I have seen that in my life. You read the life of Jesus and understand the accounts of Jesus's ministry. And you will read and know, when you read and know your Bible, you will see Susanna, the stewardess, and Mary Magdalene, who got delivered from demons. And those common women and all those people who were normal and rejected by the Jewish society, rejected by the society, they were the one who were funding this great ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. So you say, I am this, I don't have this, I am rejected, I don't have a great job. No. God has chosen you to be a financer. Even in that, when you realize that, when you obey that calling, the oil in your house shall never run dry. The bin in your the flour in your bin shall never be used up. Can you understand that supernatural activity that happens in your house? Hallelujah, never any lack. Okay, the devil wants to distract you, beloved, saying you don't have, eat this and die, because tomorrow there is nothing. No. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus teach? Let's go to Matthew's chapter number 6. Hallelujah. Matthew's chapter number 6. Matthew's chapter number 6, verse number 25 onwards. 25 onwards. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Hallelujah. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows you need that. He knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus is saying. Okay. This is the second distraction because of a financial lack. Let's go to the third distraction. Third distraction comes from irritation and frustration by people around you. Nagging people around you. Irritation and frustration because of people around you. One of the major distractions I have seen Christians not able to spend time because there is some person around them who is irritating them. There is some person maybe in their house irritating them. There is some person in the neighborhood that irritates them. How they irritate them. For example, when the devil is not able to attack you in the spiritual realm, he gets into the bodies of people and then tries to distract you. When the devil saw that you were not moved by a financial condition, you were not moved by a distraction that came to you from elsewhere and all those things, the devil says, okay, I'm not able to move this man. Let me get into a person in his neighbor. Let me get into his neighbor. Okay? And what happens is, the neighbor parks his vehicle right in front of your gate. And you are not able to take your vehicle out of your gate. And you go, you say, why did you park the vehicle in front of my gate? Take it out, please. And don't park it here. I was waiting for half an hour to go to office. You parked it in front of my gate. He said, and he looked at you with a frowny face and with anger, he took off the vehicle. He said, don't park. The next day when you go to the office, you open your door. And again, in spite of you telling the neighbor, he still parks in front of your gate. So, are we understanding? So, especially, you tell people and expect them to do something that, and you tell them, but still purposely they do it after you telling them. It can be in your house. You tell your husband, I told you, don't throw your towel here and there from tomorrow. Don't throw your shoes here and there and dirty the house. And he looks at you and with anger, I will not pick it up. You go and pick it up. Your husband goes and pick it in anger. Tomorrow you keep it properly. Again, tomorrow he does the same thing. He throws the shoes here, throws the towel there. My God, he's making your life difficult. And you get so angry, you get so frustrated. No, this can be common issues, but it's a distraction. It's a distraction, I'm telling you. 3 days, you are telling him every day, but every day he's purposely doing it. Purposely doing it. You know, you have to address the issue spiritually. Go and bind the demon that is working through your husband. Bind that spirit that is distracting me through him. Bind that spirit. I bind him that is distracting me, that is irritating me through that neighbor. Yes. Do we understand that? They can distract you through your children. Yes. Irritation, frustration by people around you. Irritation and frustration by people. It can happen in your office. A person is just behind you. A person for no reason is just irritating you, is just frustrating you, is just sending you emails for a negative feedback. Irritation and frustration by people around you. Irritation and frustration. You remember in the book 2 Kings. Now you don't go there, but 2 Kings, it says Elisha was going and there were some people, some boys who came and started to tease him. You baldy, you baldy. I say Elisha got angry and he cursed them, and the lions and the bears came and ate them up. He said, I will not allow distraction in my life. Yeah, people can distract you, and it's very hard, because you are saying something to your husband, you are saying something to your children, and they do it again. Every day they do it again. You are saying something to your neighbor, they are doing it again. How to do? Bind that spirits, bind those, curse those demons, drive them out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You told your neighbor, don't play loud music. Don't play loud music. Every night they are playing loud music. That used to happen to me when I try to go, and nowadays everywhere I try to go to spend time with the Lord, a quiet time, everywhere these drunkards come and play loud music near the hotels and all those things. Loud music, and it disturbed me a lot. I sit with my Bible, they were playing loud music. I said, Lord, they are disturbing your son. They are disturbing me. Lord, I bind. And just next 2 minutes, the music stopped. Disturbance, distraction. Irritation and frustration that comes. This is the third distraction, by people around you. Okay, now this is an important one. People of God, are you guys there? Apart from those on the screen, I'm asking to the people off screen.
Yes, we're here.
Hallelujah. What about those who are not on the screen?
Yes.
Say amen.
Yes, we're here.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Point number four. This is an important one. I don't know, some of you have received such distraction. Maybe some of you have not. But point number four have certain elements. Distractions by the devil, by sending spirits against you. Now, there can be several ways he can send spirits. Several ways. I'm talking about spirit beings, maybe in your dream, bad dreams, terrible dreams. Okay, terrible dreams. Some dreams are demonic, so every dream shall be discerned. You saw your husband cheating on you, wife cheating on you, terrible dreams. You get up and you are distracted. You knew you had to open the Bible. You cannot open the Bible because of the dream. Pray in tongues until your mind is the cloud of heaviness is driven away by the tongues you pray in. Pray in tongues until you get an interpretation. Pray in tongues until you get discernment about a dream. There are spirit beings he sent during the night so that you wake up with a dream that is a distraction. Maybe a lustful dream that is a distraction. So spirits can visit you in your dream, just to make your day start with distraction. And then the next, I don't know, maybe some of you have faced it, some of you have not, but I want to, maybe if you have faced it, the devil sends beings in front of you or to your house or where you are. Beings, literally physical beings, to distract you. Now I want to share something with you. Whenever I would go to spend time with God, and this being especially comes when I am spending time with God and when I'm praying, when I'm in fasting and praying. So once this being appeared to me 3 times, came where I was 3 times. The last time, before this last time, the second time it came is when I entered into a hotel room and it was a very silent place. There were mountains and everything all around. I checked in and I went to freshen up. And then when I came out of the hotel room, I heard someone screeching their teeth, you know, gnashing their teeth like this, loudly. I said, what is this? Where is the sound coming from? So the room had a balcony, had a window, balcony and a door. So I removed the curtain, took off the curtain and saw, where is the sound coming from? And there on the rails of the balcony, a big monkey-like being was sitting and gnashing its teeth, looking inside the window, gnashing the teeth. I said, what is this? A big one. Maybe it would come to up to my shoulders, a big one sitting there like a man, gnashing their teeth. So I got so distraught. What happened? I prayed in tongues, and after some time, he went away from that place. I contacted the caretaker. I said, what is this monkey? He said, no, such kind of things never come here. Never come here. I have never seen. But I said, I have seen. I showed him the photos. You see, this is the one. He said, no, it's not possible. They don't come. Maybe once in a while they come. But I understood it's spiritual. So I continued with God. On the third day, the Lord made me open a scripture. The Lord made me open a scripture in Psalm 37 about that being. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 37. Let me show you the scripture that I got. Psalm 37. Where is that scripture? Psalm 37. Verse number. Yeah, verse number 12. Verse number 12. It says, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The wicked plot against the just. And the Lord showed me that it was the devil sent a being. It was from the house of wickedness, from the altar of demons who came there to monitor you. And they are plotting against you, my son. They are plotting against you. And that being, I am telling you, it was gnashing the teeth so loudly that the door was closed, the windows were closed, but I could hear the sound so loudly in my room. Then the next word says, the Lord laughs at him and he seeks that his day is coming. I told you, monkey, whoever you are, your day is coming. The Lord laughs at you. So that is the second time, the last time, I encountered the being. I could not show you the picture, but because it is deleted from my phone, it was around in 2023. So it is deleted from my phone. But the recent time, this being again, Sister K knows, I was praying with Sister K and roaming around in my house and talking with her, roaming around in my house in the balcony. And suddenly I shouted, Sister K said, what happened? I said, someone came in front of my gate. And it was again that being. And now this being was higher and longer and bigger than the previous one. So I want to show you that picture. Hold on. You see this, the picture, everyone? This is the one who came the recent time now. Can you see the picture, everyone? Share the screen.
Yes.
So this is the one that came. You see, now you cannot. I zoomed I zoomed my phone camera and but in reality this was a big one. So this is the gate. It's a very high gate. And while sitting, this monkey like thing, see the hands, how long it is? Very long. And for your information, I live in city. And this was 9:30, where people were going for work and all those things.
Wow.
And impossible for such a being to come at that time. There is no wilderness around me. There are no bushes, nothing like that. It's a very modernized area.
My God.
This one.
Oh, my God.
And while I was praying, and my mother was just brooming this area, came inside. And when she came inside, this this being nowhere came out from nowhere and sat right
Jesus.
In front of my gate. Now listen. Now, do you see something here? He came with a packet of biscuits in his hand. I don't know where he got the biscuits. He came with a packet of biscuits. But you see, it is thrown here. So as soon as it came here, after a few seconds, he threw off the biscuit. He was in planning to eat at my gate. Yes, he was in plans to eat at my gate, but he threw the biscuits down on the ground. And after seconds, after 30, 40 seconds, he was just sitting and then he left from this place. Then I said, oh, Sister K, this happened, you know. So as normally people would, she got a little afraid. So we said, let's pray. Let's pray. So she prayed. And then I was asking, oh, what is this? The Lord told me the devil sent someone at your, because Sister K was talking to me about gates. That is another, not a coincidence. That is another thing. She was just talking to me about gates. She was saying, I heard something, a revelation about the gates of Hades. And this guy came and the Lord told me, the devil sent this one to come at your gate and to eat at your gate so that he can corrupt the gate. But I did not allow him to do so. That's why he threw the biscuits and ran away. He was not able to eat at my gate.
My
God. So I'm telling you, these things are real. These are not story tales. Things are, spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual warfare, distractions that come in spiritual warfare, I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. It's real. There are other things that I don't have time to share with you. But I'm telling you, such crows that are not crows, but they are demons that come. So the dogs that are not really dogs, but are demons. They have demons that come. So the physical, these are distractions. So I was used to it, so I was not so afraid. I thought, what is this now? But it was attacks after attacks, you know, physically also. And this one came to corrupt the altar by eating at the altar. You know, I have already talked about altars, eating at the altar. When you eat with someone at that table, you are taking part of that. All those things I've explained. So he came to the gate, especially sitting at the gate. Did not enter, but sitting at the gate, he tried to eat, ritual activity to corrupt the place, to corrupt the altar, but he was not allowed to do so. And he went off. And after that, never again, before that I saw him here. And after that, I never again saw such beings here. Never ever. And kind of people were there on the streets, but they were blind to this being. Only it was like only you can see it. They are physical beings, weird monkeys. Weird beings like that, that are sent like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these are not story tales, beloved. You know, they show in the movies, in the witchcraft movies, that the witch has a cat, the witch has a crow, all those stuff. Those are spirit realities that they are trying to portray in those demonic movies. In those demonic movies. So this is another kind of distraction. This comes under the category of the witchcraft distraction, not the selfish stronghold, the witchcraft distraction. The devil is sending that distraction. Some people are not equipped to face such distraction. And they get distracted. I said, they have went away. I told my mom, and my mom also know they will never come back. So we close the door and we are in the house. We don't think, oh, someone will come, do this, do that. No. So, but some people get very distracted after these things happen. Sometimes a thief comes to get into your house, but they were not able to get into your house. But after that incident, some people are distracted. Some things are, I'm telling you, there are so many things. Once a dog came literally inside through the gate. We don't know how he came inside through the gate and just released his excreta right inside in front of the door. And my mother, when she saw it, because she has to take it and clean it and all those things, she was so distracted. She was so angry. I said, it's the work of the enemy. My mother said, now I have to look. I said, no, you don't have to monitor what happens outside the door. I release fire in this place. From now on, this dog will never come here. So these are distractions. It looks like, and it is the job of the woman in the house who have to do those things. Husband don't care. Oh, clean it. No, and they go to the work. But the woman is the one who is distracted now. Because they need to, and the woman gets so much distracted. I'm telling you, woman of God, if such things happen, it's a distraction. You release the fire, you release the fire on the being that they will never come back there and do that. And then you don't have to think about what is happening outside your door. And again, go and see it. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? The fifth distraction.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The fifth distraction is distractions by text messages and phone calls. The fifth distraction is distraction by text messages and phone calls. I have seen a lot of distraction after the introduction of WhatsApp ministries. You know, I mean, so-called WhatsApp group, which are open. There is a reason why we don't keep the group open. Because people will start to send this, that, and then someone will get offended by this, and someone can go get offended by that. It's good that WhatsApp is used for official communication, and whatever other communication is done when we are in front of each other. Because someone, when person is writing something, what they are intending to say, you don't get it, but you get another message because they wrote it like that or something like that, and then you get distracted. How could he speak like that? Text me like that. How could he text me like this? Text messages. WhatsApp, one of the biggest distractions. Messages on WhatsApp. WhatsApp groups. Someone posted something. Oh, I think he posted about me. He is taunting me. So WhatsApp groups that keep on posting messages, it's a distraction. The early church used to fellowship physically with each other, see each other physically, talk with each other. They did not have so-called WhatsApp group. I have seen a lot of war going in church WhatsApp groups. A lot of warfare, not spiritual warfare, warfare between people in church WhatsApp groups, ministry WhatsApp groups. Text messages, a big distraction. You morning, you get distracted by a text message like that. The whole day, I'm telling you that distraction will keep you from prayer. Distraction will keep you from hearing God because of text messages. Hallelujah. So it's recommended that when you are talking with God, if you want to live a distractionless life, you'll use technology, but use it under the limits of God, under the limits that the Holy Spirit sets. So that we are not distracted, so that you are not distracted. I hardly open WhatsApp group messages and all those stuff because I don't want to be distracted by such things. Distractions come, oh, you know, tomorrow is the world is going to end. Someone send you a YouTube video. Oh, tomorrow the world is going. So some prophet prophesied that this will happen by day after tomorrow. Some prophet, all those things. People, when they send messages to each other, it's not by the Holy Spirit. It's due to anxiousness. False information circulated. Here and there, this is what is going to happen. This is what is going to happen. And all those stuff. Distraction. Phone calls. You speak with a person, every time you speak with the person calls you, you talk and they give you some negative information or they give you some discouraging information. This is not happening, that is not happening. And you keep the call and you start to believe in what they say and you are distracted after the phone call totally. Text messages and phone calls that distract you. Hallelujah. Fifth, that is the fifth distraction. Sixth distraction is distraction by watching news, media and sports. There was a World Cup. How the world has the craze for the football World Cup. There were India and all these countries here in Asia. Most of the countries here in Asia, like Pakistan, Bangladesh, they have a craze for the cricket sport. So the last World Cup that was played, India was, our country, India was winning all the matches. Not one match they lost. And they went into the final and the whole country was awaiting that they will lift up the World Cup. They will win. Whole country was so excited about it. But in the final, they lost terribly. And because of that, there was a young boy who expected India to win. But when he saw that India lost, he could not take in the news, and he committed suicide. He committed suicide because of, yes, sports and these sportsmen are elevated to such a position by the world, by the devil, where people start to give their life to them. I'm telling you, where people start to worship them. Where people start to attach their emotions. Okay, you are watching it for entertainment, a football match, and all those stuff. But if there is a football match like the Super Bowl that went around in the US, Super Bowl, I don't know much about it, but I saw pastors announcing, we are canceling the Sunday service. We will not meet together, and we encourage everyone to go to the Super Bowl. That means you have left God because of a sport. My God, distraction. You can watch sport. I'm not telling you don't be super holy and all those stuff. No, I'm saying that sports should not take out your emotion. You should not start to worship. People paint their bodies, paint their faces just to support the team. Why you are doing all those stuff? You are worshiping those sportsmen. You are worshiping them. That sports is taking your life. I know servants of God who were called to be servants of God, but they were playing football. And while playing football, they lost their calling in football or in soccer, because people in US know that sport by soccer. So sports can be a big distraction. I mean, I watch sports, but not to the level where I will say, oh, I will not come to preach on because I have a cricket match to see. That's a big distraction. Hallelujah. Pastors came in the US and they say, you know what, today is Super Bowl. Everyone go watch, have time. We are canceling the meeting. What nonsense. How can you cancel a meeting? How can you cancel a meeting? Jesus is going to send a letter to you soon. Why you are doing all those stuff? You are replacing the word of God by what you call by that Super Bowl in the church on the pulpit. And celebrating a whole week of the Super Bowl. That's a distraction. That's a diversion from the word of God. Media, news. Let me tell you, beloved, never believe in the news that you see on the TV. Never believe in the news. Always be discerning, because most of the news, almost 100% of the news, are agendas that are being driven by the media. Even on social media, they are agendas that are driven. Always have a discernment. I mean, we don't have a cable channel. I don't watch news, but sometimes here and there, for the purpose of prayer, we look at stuff that are going on around the world for the purpose of prayer. But don't be so dependent on the news channels, because they are a big distraction. Major percentage of people who don't open their Bible but open their newspapers in the morning are the people who cannot hear from God. You know, in India, we have newspapers. I don't know about US. They give the newspaper in the morning, so they open the newspaper and they read the newspaper. In the newspaper, apart from the news, there are all gossip printed on the newspaper. There is all horoscopes. Horoscopes means, you know what horoscopes? You are September month born. This is your sign, horoscope sign. This is what will happen in your life today. They give prophecies on the newspaper. When it's demonic. You read all those things. You cannot read the Bible. Your soul is shattered. Your soul is fragmented after getting into those things. That means you are distracted by the newspaper, by the media, by the sports. Okay, seventh distraction. Seventh distraction is diversion due to impatience to wait for God's promise or perfect time. Some people are impatient. They cannot wait for God's perfect time. They want to manufacture the miracle from their own self so that because they are pressurized by the society, they are pressurized by their parents or relatives or the church people. Oh, you are 28 now, you have to get married. The church I used to go to, the whole church has a lens, has a perspective and a mindset that a person, if they are not married by 28, the person has a devil. The person who gets married by 28, 29, 30, get children, have children, if after getting married they don't have children, they have a devil. So if you are married, you have children, you are a good Christian. And I have seen in that church marriages suffering. They are giving birth to children, but there is no presence of God in their families, in that church, because they abide by a tradition and not wait on God's perfect time. They don't wait. They are driven by a tradition. They are driven by a carnal mindset, a traditional mindset. There are a few people in the church, they got married, they have children, posting pictures everywhere that they accomplished something great by getting married and having children. What is such a great... They feel like a head high, and you know what? As if they established a big church or ministry. Some hanky-panky people in the church. We have done a great thing, and because they are too much focused on the opinion of the church people. Because the church people, he got married. There was a tradition in my church, or a rule, you can say, that only married men are ordained as leaders, elders in the church. That was the tradition. But you know what? I got ordained as an elder in a church at the age of 23, against the rules of the church. Because God wanted to show them that whom I have chosen, I don't put traditions of men for my approval. I was ordained at 20, that church who followed, and the pastor was saying from 21, some people came, prophesied on me and all those stuff. And the pastor was saying, you need to get married. He counseled me, by 26, get married. By now, invest in a scheme. You will have money, 27, and all those things. But God made him, he himself called, I have to ordain you as an elder, God told me. And he ordained me at 23. The leaders of the church came and ordained me as an elder at 23. Of my age. So I am telling you, God's perfect time is necessary, and not be impatient. Many people marry because of pressure, because they cannot be patient for God's perfect time. Yes. And once you get married, the woman herself is a Delilah and a big distraction. You have to carry the distraction till the time you are old, because you were impatient. You were so impatient to produce a testimony out of your own works. Genesis chapter number 16. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter number 16, verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. After Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. But dear Sarai, you were the one who initiated the plan. Is it right? And now when the child is born, you are the one who is complaining. When you produce something, when you do something, this comes under the category of selfish stronghold. You are so concerned about the society talking about you, about, oh, God is not doing, and people are saying it's the promise, but is the promise true? And all those stuff, you are pressurized. Produce something. That testimony, that blessing is produced by you, not by God. It will never bring you joy. You are the one who initiated the plan, but you are now depressed, distracted, angry, complaining, grumbling about it. Cannot wait for God's perfect time. Diversion due to impatience. Due to impatience. Wait, let the world say what they want to say, but you wait. You wait for God's perfect time. You wait for, I know ladies whom I prayed for, they've got married at 37 with the perfect lifetime partner, and they are having their wonderful life with that partner. They waited. They did not listen to people. One of them got married at 37 or 38. Oh, we cannot have child. She had a child after getting married. Yes, because it's God's time. Don't get diverted because of impatience. Point number 8, distraction because of fellowship with wrong people. I don't have time. Refer to Judges chapter number 16. Samson and Delilah. Psalm chapter number 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. So wrong people, fellowshipping with the wrong friends. Friends who drink alcohol, you cannot sit with them. Oh, I am going to the party. I am not drinking, brother, but they are drinking. But you are sitting at the table of the drunkards. You are fellowshipping with them. And I am telling you, you do that, come back home for 1 week, you will have no interest to read the Bible. Because that activity you put your hand into has left you distracted now. I'm telling you. Oh, brother, I'm skipping the meeting. Where are you going? I am going to a picnic with my friends. They are going to smoke and drink, but I am not. No. Don't leave. Set your priorities right. I was in the corporate. I was working with worldly friends, but I drew a limit. I never went with their picnic things. I never went with their fellowship. If they will say, oh, everyone is going, I don't want to come. I have church. I'm going to the meeting. If it's not an official thing about work, I'm not going to come for those hanky-panky stuff and roaming around and passing time with you. I'm coming to the office only to work, do my work, I'm get my salary, that's it. Distraction because of wrong people. Point number 9 is distraction because of an anxious mind. It says, be not anxious for anything. Anything you do, you are anxious, you are hyperactive, you are very impatient, you are anxious when it will happen. You are anxious because you want to drive it, you want to have it, rather than waiting on God and resting in God. Lord, you do it. Anxious mind, distraction, because a person who has an anxious mind is a person who is distracted. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 6. Okay, I went too fast because I wanted to end. Hallelujah. These are the distractions. And I told you last meeting how to overcome it. I told you the last meeting how to overcome it. I told you Isaiah chapter number 50, verse number 4 and 5. Awaken my ear morning by morning. So when you get up, before the devil is able to fill you, you fill yourself with the word of God. You awaken your ear. Because if you don't fill yourself and the devil sees you empty, when you get up in the morning, he will fill your mind with his word, with his thoughts, with his deception. That is how you'd overcome distraction. Get up in the morning. Okay, you don't have much time, but talk with the Holy Spirit. Talk with the Lord. Thank you, Lord. What do you want to speak to me? Open a scripture. Pray through the scripture. And God will speak to you. God will give you commandments. God will give you instructions. When you don't know what to do, you are in a financial lack, any kind of distraction, make it a point to go and read the word of God and hear from him. How to overcome distraction? Secondly is John chapter number 15, abiding in him. That means you say, I cannot do it by myself. I don't want to drive my own life. I just abide in him. If it's not happening, I don't think about it. I abide in him. Let God, you do it for me. You do it through me. Abide in him and the word abiding in you, his word flowing through you. Then I told you, Genesis chapter number 17, verse number 1 and 2. Walk before the Lord and be blameless. Walk with the Lord. Don't have your own plans. Align with his plan. Just submit to and surrender to him. You will not have any distraction. You will be blameless when you walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter number 73, verse 25 to 26. It says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire beside you. When you have the Lord your God only as your desire, and that is difficult to maintain, but when you have it, have him only as your desire, your eyes will be opened. You will be able to discern. You will be able to see. You will not see the enemy surrounding you. You will see God surrounding you. And by doing so, you will be able to get rid of distractions. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as you said to Joshua, we do not want to move to the right or to the left, Lord, but we want to observe according to your word and do according to your word. Everything that is written in your word. And it says when we do that, we will prosper wherever we go. That is true prosperity, Lord. Hallelujah. Let your people prosper. Oh, Lord, distraction is a tool to keep the people of God poor, to keep them, Lord, in the victim mentality, Lord, to keep them believing that they are defeated people. But in the name of Jesus, let them get rid of every distractions. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every distraction. If you know that friend is a negative friend who does not even believe properly in Jesus, ruining your life, block that friend, break those relationships, you know, get rid of distracting people, get rid of distracting groups of text messages, get rid of every kind of distractions. Oh Lord, hallelujah. Oh, get rid of every kind of distraction that comes because of financial lack. Know what the word of God says. Know what you are. Know what your identity is, and continue to persist at the place of prayer, getting rid of every distraction, every snares that so ensnares us. Oh Lord, let us get rid of all those things and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every distractions that are orchestrated by demonic altars, I cancel them. I destroy them in the name of Jesus Christ. Every distraction that comes through nagging people, through people who have demons and just don't listen, Lord, let your people bind those spirits, know how to handle situations and get rid of those distractions in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that this people here, Lord, you will teach them to be a disciplined people, Lord. It says, be still and know that I am God. Help us to be still, that we will be disciplined, Lord, that our mind will be focused, even if the devil is blabbering there and making noises to distract us, but we will be still, Lord, under your wings in that soundproof secret place. The secret place is soundproof. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. That is what the Lord is saying. If the secret place is soundproof, the noise that the devil makes outside in the realm of the flesh and the realm of the world cannot penetrate in the secret place. When you sit in the secret place, it's soundproof. You cannot be distracted. Hallelujah. Let your people enter that soundproof place, Lord, where they are disconnected from the voice of the world. In the world of so many voices, Lord, we seek to hear only your voice, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, and not to be distracted. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory for this time. I cover all of us, Lord, all the families, Lord, even those who were not there. Cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. Hallelujah. Let them have a blessed week ahead, Lord. And Lord, gather us all together once again the coming weekend and speak to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Keep your people. Let them walk in the Spirit. Let them walk in the Word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.